If you've ever tried to get a creative project off the ground, you know the struggle. The great ideas are everywhere, but funding? That's a whole different story.
We're not just talking about sending an email twice or three times. I'm attending a market so that I could talk to this network and say, hey, I really think this movie is up your alley.
Between grants, tax credits, financial partners, it can feel like a maze. One filled with red tape, long applications, and a whole lot of waiting.
There's just a lot of places to go to, and sometimes people just tend to overthink the process.
So how do you navigate the finicky Canadian funding landscape? Where should you start? And what does it take to turn a concept into a fully funded reality?
Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by Telus Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger, and we're here to help empower new and emerging Canadian content creators, getting insights from people who've been down this road before.
On every episode, we unpack the journey of a leading Canadian creator, or creators, all the way from inception to completion.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
On this episode, we're kicking off a two-part deep dive into one of the most pivotal parts of the creative process, finding the money to bring your vision to life.
Because it's a huge part of being a creator, and we don't learn these things in school, we want to hear from both sides. So first, we're going to sit down with a creator who's gone through this process himself. And next time, we're going to get the skinny from an industry insider.
So joining us today to start the funding conversation is Vancouver-based documentary filmmaker who produced award-winning films like Iridescence, This Ink Runs Deep, and Watershed. He also works with us at Telus Story Hive. Kent Dungines, welcome to First Frame.
Hello, Jen and Cam. Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited to have you today. Can't wait to hear more from you. But before we talk money, let's learn a little bit more about you and your background as a filmmaker. I understand you made a pretty bold life decision back in 2015.
Yeah. In 2015, I moved to Canada. So it's like pretty much hitting the reset button in my life. That's when I had to drop everything I was doing in the Philippines. I got reunited with some of my siblings who were in Ottawa with my dad and my stepmom. And a year after that, I chose, like you said, the bold move to move to Vancouver to attend Vancouver Film School. And it's where I specialized in producing first and cinematography. And when I got into the industry, I thought I was going to be a producer. So I was just producing until 2019 came and Story Hive decided to support my project, Kalinga. That was my very first funded film as a director, where I made a short documentary about Filipino caregivers and nannies, and it changed my life.
So was it being able to tell real stories and work with real people? And that's what sort of led you to transitioning from producing into documentary filmmaking?
Definitely.
Or was there more to it?
That was definitely the first thing. Working with real people with real stories. Your judgment and your idea of success in this industry could easily get clouded, right? And to me as a filmmaker, it was really important to tell stories of ordinary people with extraordinary experiences. So I kind of took that on me and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep meeting interesting people, like especially ordinary people who are contributing to our community that are often not spotlighted in film nor any forms of media.
I love that.
Yeah, that was really the push I needed. And everything else after that just came into place.
Yep, I love that. I think you said showcasing ordinary people with extraordinary stories. And I love that because everybody has a story to share.
Yeah, 100%.
How did taking that leap in 2015 shape you as a storyteller and creator?
I think it was the challenges that came with the decision that changed my life as a creator. I thought at 20 or 21 years old, I was already experienced, let's say, multifaceted. I've produced events, I've produced music festivals, fashion shows, you name it, in the Philippines at a very young age. And I thought I was so experienced until that move happened because I did my very first job in Canada. I was a janitor. And then I became a call center agent. I did door-to-door business sales. I became a juicer in an independent grocer. And it's those experiences that made me appreciate life a little bit more. And that gave me enough to be creative because all the emotions, all the themes that I'm putting into my craft is motivated by authentic emotions and struggles that I've gone through and had to conquer first before I can retell them.
Let's get into the core of the conversation, funding. As you said, it's one of the toughest yet most critical part of turning your vision into reality. But as any creator will tell you, getting folks to cough up the cash is never easy.
Absolutely. Probably one of the hardest things to do. So Kent, I'm hoping that you can paint a little picture. What does the funding landscape look like for creators in Canada from a creator point of view?
This is a really good question because there's just a lot of places to go to. And sometimes people just tend to overthink the process. For short, or smaller scale projects. Of course, you have your provincial arts councils, you have your federal arts council, which is Canada Council. In our case here in BC, it's BC Arts Council. You have international funding bodies as well, like Screencraft, Short Scripts, Slick Film Funds, Kodak, you know, all these international grant or funding bodies. And then on top of that, you have the bigger scale productions, you know, like StoryHive, you have TELUS Originals, you have Canada Media Fund, Telefilm Canada. There are a lot of funding opportunities, not just in Canada, but across the US and internationally that is available to us. The issue sometimes is not a lot of filmmakers have that confidence, I guess, to keep doing their research and even do basic outreach. Because sometimes charities also offer funding for film, foundations also offer funding for film. And it's really about looking for the right funding for the right project. You really have to read into those guidelines, what they're looking for, what type of project they're funding, and then make the most out of it.
Pretty vast space. Very complicated and probably hard to navigate.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about either a time where you successfully received financial backing for a project or a time where maybe you weren't successful and what you might have done differently.
The film I'm just finishing now, I think the funding for that was very interesting. First, we received some development money early in the process. For that project, scale-wise, we thought the project was going to get made for $100K to $250. And we also didn't know what the scale of the project was going to be yet because while we were applying for funding, we were still developing. But when we applied for our final round of development, this was through the network, they declined it twice.
I was maybe a little hard on the heart.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I still don't get it. Why it's getting declined? And then it was just this network that I know that the film I'm making is the film that they're looking for. That's why I'm going to push and push as much as I can. And we're not just talking about sending an email twice or three times. I'm attending a market so that I could talk to this network and say, hey, I really think this movie is up your alley. And the third time, they did the same call for the same program and I applied for it. And finally, they greenlit the project. And going back to what I said earlier, that it was going to be $100,000 to $250,000 budget film. It became over $500,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. But persistence paid off.
So it sounds like that there's some strategy behind what funding bodies you should go to when sourcing funding. Can you maybe give our viewers or listeners some tips on the biggest mistakes that creators make when they're searching for funding?
One of the most common mistakes that creators do is, number one, they assume that their project is eligible for everything. No, read the guidelines and the regulations and the eligibility requirements of each grant application because your one project doesn't fit all. Second, they always submit white documents. And when I say white documents, it's just a page full of text. People, it's 2025. We're making a film. It's a visual medium. So whoever's reading your application, they need to be able to visualize what you're trying to make. So always look for the visuals to come with the text that you're writing to help the reader or the selection committee basically visualize. The third thing, final common mistake, is the budget. The budget, sometimes people tend to overthink, but you also have to make sure that the budget that you're making is accurate to what you're trying to produce. Sometimes people tend to undersell. Sometimes they oversell. So just finding the middle ground of how your project is possible with the resources that you're given should be thought out. on application stage.
Some great advice for our creators. Obviously, StoryHive creators are new and emerging, so I think the budget is probably the section that they're most worried about.
Yeah.
But I can definitely say as a funder, I completely agree with, you know, when pitches come in, having people sort of try and portray what they envision their project to look like. And it's a little bit harder to review pitches where that piece isn't part of it.
Now it's time to take a quick break from our conversation for a bit of fun with a segment we like to call 1 Minute Mentor.
That's right. So Kent, that means you've got 60 seconds and 60 seconds only to share the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's put 1 minute on the clock and go.
One piece of advice that I could give everybody in 60 seconds would be advice that I got from an elderly man at the Getty Museum in LA. And he said, leave the world better than you found it. It's something that really, really resonated with me as I was soul searching and recalibrating my life a little bit in the last couple of months. Every time I'm put in a position where I have to make a decision, I always ask myself, how am I leaving this place better than I found it? Whether it's through the decisions I made, the stories I tell. So kill them with kindness and always be grateful.
I feel like that might be a tattoo in the future.
Yes.
To fill up one of those spaces on your arms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's so fitting. I'm like, even on my phone, I have a quote that's like, be who you needed when you were younger.
Mm.
So it sort of fits that same thing too. Like, love that.
So earlier we touched on some of the tough realities creators face when it comes to securing funding. Now let's dig deeper into how to tackle those challenges head on and explore the options that are out there. So Kent, for someone who's never gone through the process of securing funding, what are the key things that they should figure out before they even start to look around and apply?
How cooked is your project? That's the very first thing. Don't ever pitch a project, especially for production funding, when it's half-baked. So really take your time and develop, whether you're writing a script for a scripted project or writing a treatment for a documentary project. Make sure that you've thought of almost everything in it. And, you know, when somebody asks you about your project, you can answer all of those questions from head to toe. So really take your time and ask for an advice. Sometimes when people are asking for advice, they tend to go to an experienced filmmaker or a really experienced cinematographer, director, all that. But not all the time. You know, to me, my favorite thing to do is when I send out my scripts to non-filmmakers, because they're your consumers. They're your regular consumers. So if they're not getting it the first time, then there is a problem. You know?
So does that mean that a creator should have their budget completely figured out? They need to have their cast and crew organized?
So when you know that your project is ready, then you look into the budget. Like, what's the least amount of money I need to make this project? Or what's the most amount of money can I get access to make this project? The more you know what your story is, the more you'll have the ammo to tackle the rest of the things that follows.
Right.
Because you'll be able to gauge everything else, like the crew size, you know, the number of cast and crew you're going to have on set, like the amount of food that you're going to be feeding these people, the budget size, and how much do you need to do all the logistics, to cover all the logistics of the production and then post-production on top of it all.
Can you walk us through the different types of funding options out there, like grants, partnerships, and tax credits?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do those mean?
So let's start with the grants. So grants like BC Arts Council or Canada Council for the Arts, these are funding institutions that focus on funding artists. So if you're a producer, you will not get access to any of these funding because they only fund directors. And when you're applying to these grants, they're not just limited to funding filmmakers as well. They fund artists, painters, you know, sculptors, filmmakers, mixed media. And it tends to be a little bit more competitive because you're battling against, you know, other art streams out there. And then second, you have your broadcaster or streamer funding model where you work with a distributor like TELUS, for example, you know, like CBC. You come to them, they provide you with a license. You use that license to produce your project. And tax credits, in this case, is what you get back from spending into your production. You get tax credits, both provincial and federal. So wherever you film across Canada, each of the provinces in Canada has a tax credit system. You know, I know here in BC, we just went from 36% to 40% on tax credits. That means on your labor spend, and you can also get tax credits for your total production spend. But there's a federal tax credit that's also available up to 60% on labor spend. That's a lot of the productions, whether it's indie or studio backed. This is a tax credit that we all take advantage of because we get a little bit of our spend back to pay us as producers on these projects.
Very interesting. Sounds like there's a lot of pieces to a budget.
Kent, you mentioned some various places that you can go to get funding. So I'm wondering, how is that dependent whether you're working on a film, whether you're, you know, creating a documentary, or whether you're even creating social media content?
It's very, very dependent on what you're making. That's why I was stressing in the beginning. Right project, right funding body,
right
funding institution. Because one, we got to remember that some of these places have requirements as well. They're funding projects because they're required to deliver a certain format or a certain film, a certain topic. And that's why you need to do some extra reading when it comes to what the mission and vision basically is of these funding institutions. Because, you know, you can't just pitch a full-length fiction feature to TELUS Originals, for example. You know, because TELUS Originals only fund documentaries. So always doing your due diligence. Makes your grant journey less stressful, but also you're not wasting your time at the wrong place.
Right.
Great advice. We definitely see that at Story Hive when people are pitching, and sometimes they just feel it's the right project, but they haven't done any research to find out what we're actually looking for. So
this has been a really valuable conversation, Kent. Is there any final advice or words of wisdom that you would like to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
I would say, first, for documentary filmmakers, just do it. You're already passionate about the stories that you're documenting, and applying for grants or any funding available out there will just elevate your process. And second, for scripted filmmakers out there, write what you know. Sometimes you're pressing your brain too much to be so creative, but you can get creative based on the things that you know. Make sure that the projects that you're developing, scripted or non-scripted, are motivated by your own feelings, personal feelings, whether it's a struggle or a win. As long as it's motivated by you, it becomes an output where a piece of you is ingrained and embedded in it. So just do it. And always, always write what you know.
Kent, this has been great. Thank you again for your perspective. Before we go, can you share what you're currently working on and tell our listeners and viewers about the best way to keep tabs on your projects?
Yeah, I'm currently finishing my feature documentary, Treasure of the Rice Terraces. I just finished my TELUS Originals feature documentary, Canadian Adobo, that's also in the film festival circuit. And you can find me on Instagram, Kent Longines, Facebook, Kent Longines. Feel free to shoot me a DM in all of those channels. And I'm looking forward to making my next fiction film that's also coming right up, called 4-4. That is like the intensity of Whiplash meets the psychological treatment of Black Swan, but with Philippine folk dance. I'm going to try and do a genre twist to my approach as well as a filmmaker. So,
well, good luck.
Oh,
exciting.
A lot of things to watch out for.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So exciting to hear. We're definitely going to keep a watch out for all of your projects that are coming out. I want to thank you so much for sharing both your expertise and your experience with us today on First Frame.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Jen, this has been another jam-packed conversation with a lot of information. So what would you say was the biggest piece of advice that our listeners could take away?
Well, you know, I have to say, I was so excited by this conversation and really happy with all the things that Kent shared, because obviously some of the mistakes and challenges that he mentioned are definitely some of the things that we see as we are reviewing applications. So, you know, I think my biggest takeaway for creators would be, do your research. Make sure you're reading the guidelines. Make sure you're understanding the organization that you're applying for funding for, and make sure that your project aligns, because this is something that obviously we see quite often where a project doesn't align with what we're asking for, or, you know, a creator reaches out with a random request for funding outside of our programs. So I think for me, that was definitely one. And the second is, develop your project. Make sure you've got a vision for your project. Make sure it's fleshed out. Make sure that it's complete so that you can really explain that to a funder.
I also think it's really important that people have the perspective that Kent's been doing this for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to know everything right out of the gate. So take your time, do your research, as you said. It can seem a little bit overwhelming, but then, you know, take it in small steps, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to know everything overnight. And the budget piece is important to get your film or your production on screen. So take your time and understand your audience and understand who you're asking for funding for.
The one thing that I loved was Kent sharing that he applied and got declined, applied again and got declined, was persistent and finally got funding on his third attempt with that particular funding. So I love that, just sort of taking that piece of advice that you're going to hear a lot of no's, but it doesn't mean to stop, especially if it's a project that you're very passionate about.
Someone's going to say yes. Just got to keep trying.
That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode. And be sure to tune in next time when we continue the funding conversation with Janine Steele, the Director of Interactive Digital Media at Canada Media Fund.
If you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, be sure to check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Parker.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And that's a wrap.